It is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy, and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Good morning, Dr. Werpman.
Good morning to both of you. And you both sound very cheery this morning, apparently. The weather has gotten slightly better, I hope.
Well, it has gotten lighter. I just turned around, though. I am in an icicle prison. This is very terrifying. No, it's like if I look outside, there are it's stalactites because I had once going
like cars.
Yeah, no, it's really, and your blog posting is really interesting. It is titled, and I'm mentioning this before you start. It is entitled "Is Losing Weight Realistic Before the Pandemic Is Over?" Before you start, I just have to say that I know a couple of big guys who have lost a fair amount of weight. They used it for that, and Marshall's not just Marshall. Arthur Schwartz, another of our contributors, like people who have, you know, not been as, I mean, in their lives they've been successful going up and down, but the pandemic really seemed to focus that in a certain demographic.
No, you're absolutely right, and I didn't answer my question, did I? In the title. No, you're absolutely right. But I think there are two kinds of people. There are people who saw themselves as given an opportunity to focus on something which was extremely important, is extremely important to their health, which is losing weight, and perhaps the pandemic gave us all time, not everybody, but many of us, time to think about meal preparation, how we tend to overeat, what the effect of stress is on our choice of foods. Can we possibly pick up some time during the day to exercise? Because so many of the distractions and the trivia that manage to eat away at our time also cause us to overeat, and suddenly they were removed, certainly during the first period of lockdown when there really wasn't any place to go or anyone to see, and certainly no social dining that one could do. And it's true, Marshall, I know you're a prime example. But what I was thinking about was the fact that if you look at the global statistics on weight, there really is no question that there's a relationship between the duration of this pandemic and the fact that it really is an increase in the number of people who would be categorized as being obese. And you can also see that one of the reasons for that is that if you are confined to your house and a household where you're dealing with household members who normally would not be home 24/7, and also, especially as a woman, taking on yourself the responsibilities that you've always had, you know, taking care of most women, taking care of the house and making sure the food in the house and making sure the clean laundry, the puppy is taken out to walk. In addition, you may be homeschooling your kids. You may be attempting to do your job from home with all these other responsibilities. And that has caused a great deal of stress. And during a stressful time, many of us turn to food as a way of, if not helping us change our mood in a positive way, it's certainly distracting us from the next unbearable chore that we have to do. And so while the stressors are still there, is this a good time to consider trying to remove the food that we've been turning to make ourselves feel better? I'm not answering the question. Just, it is a question. And the other thing, aspect of this, is exercise. You just said you're in an ice cave or prison. Normally, if you can't do any other kind of exercise, the general recommendation is walk. Go outside and take a walk. You can't go to the gym. You can't go to, you don't want to do yoga. You don't want to do Pilates. You're certainly not going to go to a SoulCycle studio and do a spin class or rock climbing in a gym. And so you're going to go and walk because it's the least difficult to do. Everybody knows how to walk, and it probably is the easiest thing on your joints and muscles. But how can you walk? How can you walk when you live in an area where there are no sidewalks and there are snowbanks on either side of the road? How can you walk when it's 20 degrees below zero in terms of wind chill or something, or it's raining out, or it's snowing out, or it's dark at the times you normally would like to walk? And so what are you going to do for exercise? And we're talking about people who normally would not be turning on their computers or their TVs and watching an exercise class, because they just never did it. Why would they start doing it now in isolation? And these are the So these are the things that somebody has to think about before starting a diet in which there is some deprivation.
Right.
So I think the answer is compromise. And I think, in a sense, people like Arthur and Marshall might have really done that to begin with, which is, okay, I won't deprive myself of everything, but I'm going to be more careful about what I'm eating. I am going to pay attention to the portion sizes. I don't have to eat until the bowl is empty. Maybe I should pay attention to how much I'm actually eating. I have the time to cook. Maybe I don't have to make a recipe that starts with, you know, 3 tablespoons of olive oil and a half of stick of butter. You know, maybe I can find something to do around the house that will give me a chance to walk. Maybe it's, you know, just going up and down the stairs or walking around the outside of the house. Maybe when I am stressed, I don't have to turn to the nuts or the chocolate, the ice cream or the 50% fat cookies. Maybe I can find a snack to eat that satisfies me without bringing in extra calories. And in a way, Jill, this is what people do when they're maintaining their weight, because people don't stay on a diet forever. Otherwise, you know, they'd be dead. But when you're finished with a diet, you compromise. Oh, if I eat, I want to have a piece of cake for dessert. Well, gee, how much exercise did I do today? Or maybe I didn't really eat a very calorically dense meal, so I really could have a piece of cake for dessert. Or maybe I did have a calorically dense meal, I'll have an orange for dessert. These are the kinds of choices that people make to maintain their weight, which in a sense is much harder to do than even losing weight. And perhaps this is a time when you can start practicing that before you actually go on the diet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, now that we are so far into this, you know, people have become quite creative. I know that they do Zoom spin classes. I mean, there's all sorts of things that go on. And, of course, anyone who is in close quarters knows how to turn a very small area into an exercise studio, you know, by now. If right. That's the inclination. I mean, the necessity is the mother of invention. Again, if that's the inclination, it's whether or not you want to in a lot of these cases. And
yes, and I think that the fact that Marshall and Arthur have done this means that they didn't just start with a total deprivation diet. I mean, Marshall's much too sensible for that. I mean, he very carefully figured out what he could eat, what he should avoid eating in order to satisfy his hunger, satisfy, you know, his need to eat, when it maybe even wasn't that hungry, but not really depriving himself so that he went to bed hungry or couldn't wait till the next meal.
And portion control takes a lot of that. I used to make a pot of chili. Instead of having a bowl of chili, if you get a corn tortilla, which is 90 calories, and in that corn tortilla you put a teaspoon of beef that is seasoned, you put some onions, some tomatoes, and some lettuce, and once again, not even a teaspoon, just a dampling of cheese.
Right.
Right there, you have, and if you have three of those, you have a filling dinner that comes in at about 350 to 500 calories.
But what made you able to? I'm more interested in how you managed to.
Adopt that and not eat a whole bowl of chili.
Yeah, just because historically.
Because I wanted to take the time to lose the weight. I could still get the.
The decision was there.
Yeah, if I want to have a chili, then I'll take myself a small bowl out, and I'll take a tablespoon, and I'll put in 2 or 3 tablespoons of chili, and I'll heat that up, and I'll have that if I want to have that.
Okay,
but all I'm saying is.
But Jill's asking. How is it? Why is this year different than every
other
year?
Well, because I can't do anything other than go to work and go home and do occasional grocery shopping.
Exactly.
So I figured this would be if there's ever
that
a time
point.
I don't need Noom. I have the COVID-19 virus, which has taught me over a long haul, now over a year, how to adjust my diet. People are paying for this Noom app to adjust their diet and to adjust their lifestyle. Well, I've taken advantage of the COVID-19 virus because it's so long-term, and it'll probably go on for at least another 3 or 4 months.
Sure.
It's very rare that I've stayed on a program like this for a solid year. Well, guess what? It's now not a program. It's what I do. So
a way of life.
So that has helped.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the key was you had the time. You didn't have the distractions. You didn't have the social interactions that would have caused you to feel tempted to eat more or the wrong kinds of food, and you could focus on this. So the answer would be yes. The pandemic is the time to lose weight. But let's say you had, you know, 2 goats, 3 cows, and 6 children in your household at this moment. You couldn't have done that, right?
No, it would have been much harder. Absolutely, it would have been much harder because when you're, especially me, when you're in a household and you do all the cooking, you cook for, let's say, you cook for 4 people. Well, no, then you can't because those 4 people want what they normally get. And so, no, it would make it, you could do it, but it would make it much harder. But I guess what I'm saying is through the pandemic, now that I've been doing this for over a year, it's a matter of lifestyle. Jill, I had to spend the night here, okay, on the night of the snowstorm. So I bought in food, and I bought in food the way I used to bring it in. Well, at the end of me spending the night and being here overnight, 3/4 of the food was left. So yesterday, there was some beef that was around, and I took out 2 pieces of it, and Jill came in, and I said, you know what, I ate about 1/4 of 1 piece. So I said, I guess you can just take this and get rid of it. So my body has adapted over the course of the year.
Yeah. We see, and Marshall, that's another thing, that it took, you didn't know when you started this it would take this long. Nobody knew the pandemic was going to take this long. But when people talk about quick weight loss diets, that is, you know, almost an oxymoron. You can lose the weight quickly, but it's not going to stay off. It really means that you have to habituate yourself to something. And look, we're all used to wearing masks, at least, you know, we are. And when I go outside and I feel fresh air in my face, I think, oh my goodness, I don't have my mask on. And the point is that you now are used to eating the way you're eating, and it's almost automatic. Oh, I'll just take a teaspoon of this or a sprinkle of that. Whereas a year and a half ago, it never would have entered your mind. And that's what people have to learn. It takes time. And I'm sure you also found ways of walking around your house or walking around outside when you could to get some kind of physical activity in.
Well, that was another determining factor. I found out that sooner or later I'm going to need double knee replacement surgery. So that's what really kicked it off. I said, well, if I ended up losing 100 pounds, 110 pounds over the course of a year or two, that's going to take a lot of pressure off the knees. It's part of the equation where there's that commitment also that I know that I'm doing something that is helping a problem that instead of having immediate surgery, I can put it off and be healthy.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm trying to say, we're going to run out of time, but the bottom line is that there are many factors, and it's really about navigating them, and finding the, you know, it's like finding the lodestar. What's it going to be that helps you to continue or helps you to add stuff? Because otherwise, to compromise. Because otherwise, as you point out, it would be.
Right. And Marshall, congratulations to you. Everybody should really look to you as an example. It's wonderful.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much, Dr. Okay, Judy Wertman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy right here on Robin Hood Radio every Thursday morning before This Week in the Lakeville Journal, also online at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand, click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wertman.